Today's shir is Masechta Chulin Daf Tzadik. We begin Be'ezer Hashem's Baruch on Daf Pei Tes on the Beis, 10 lines from the bottom of Mimotzus. Previous year, we had begun learning the halacha of Gira Nosha. The Mishnah had told us that the halacha of Gira Nosha also applies to animals that are kachim. And the Gemara began a discussion, and the basis of the Gemara's discussion is the rule that is often stated in Shas, and that is the rule of Einis Achal Al Isser. If something is Usser, it can't become Usser with another Isser. However, so for example, that if you have an animal that's not kosher, doesn't get Isser Nevela, I'm not talking about the Tumah aspect, because it's already not kosher anyway. However, there are exceptions to that statement of Einis Achal Al Isser. One is, if the two isurim come bebas achas, if the two isurim come simultaneously. Another exception is issa moisif, that this object or meat or food or whatever, it becomes usur to more people than it was originally, or if something was originally only usur b'achila and now becomes usur b'hana. An issa koil means that was this Isser didn't become Osir more. But let's say, the best example I could think of is Yom Kippur. Let's say you have a food that's Osir, and now on Yom Kippur there are other foods that were not normally Osir. That would be another example where Isser Chal Al Isser. And therefore, the Gemara's premise of this question is, we're learning that if meat is kachim, it's subject to Gir Hanosha. And the question is, when does it become also because of kachim, and when does it become also because of gedanosha, that we should say that there is or isn't the problem of issa chalal issur? And the last teretz the Gemara suggested is that our Mishnah is speaking about a case of vlodus kachim, a behema that had that's kachim that had a baby, and our Tan is following the opinion that the gedanosha applies to the shalil, to the fetus as well. And furthermore, our Tana holds that the kachim become kodesh as soon as they're already in their mother's womb. So therefore, the Isser Gid and the Isser Kachim both came at the exact same moment when this baby of the kachim was formed. To which the Gemara asks, and this is where we begin our shir, can we explain that that is, ask the Gemara, can we suggest that that's the case of our Mishnah? Because ask the Gemara, as we continue learning the Mishnah says, noig b'shlil, that the issa of gedanosha is applicable to a shlil, is clearly suggest the Gemara, mechlal, the bereisha, that the reisha is the Mishnah, is labashliskin, is not speaking about the shlil. The shlil, the fetus, is only introduced in the sefer. Answers the Gemara Hakam. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Davazeh, this halacha about how do we look at the Gid Nosha of a Shlil, says the Gemara, is actually Machlokes Rav Yehuda Rabbanan. Is actually the subject of a Machlokes of Rav Yehuda Rabbanan. Asked the coin to Rav Yehuda, the Gid Nosha doesn't apply to the Shlil. And according to the Tanakama, it does. According to Rabbanan, they do does. Ask the Gemara, but now we're saying the reason we don't have a problem of Ein Issa Chal Al Isser, says the Gemara, is because they both, the two Isurim, come at the exact same time. Ask the Gemara, is that something that we could say, Omi Matzus Amris? Is it proper to say that the two Isurim come together? Omi Matzus Amri, that Havai, Bahada Adodikasi, but not the Mishnah Mesech the Nozir, that Memtes on the Beis teaches us. Alayla Tumas Ad Nozir Mikaleich. We know what halacha is, that if somebody took upon himself to be a nozer, he's not allowed to drink wine, he's not allowed to cut his hair, and he's not allowed to become tummy mace. If he becomes a tummy mace while he's a nozer, he has to cut all his hair, bring a carbon ashem and two tarim or two bnei yoinam, one for a chattis and one for an oilam, and now he forfeits all the days that he already counts, that he had accounted for his naziris, and it begins all over again. But the Mishnah over there identifies which are the tumas that would cause this to happen. Alamase or kazaisa mace. If he was exposed to a mace or kazaisa mace. However, all of the other type of tumas, sherets, nevela, etc. Of course, he has to be mitar himself, but it doesn't affect his naziris. The kashlon. And in learning that Mishnah, there's an obvious question. And that is, yeah, kazayis mace min agaleich. If he came in contact with a kazayis mace, it's considered that he's tamei and affects his naziris. Akula like koshkein. Certainly, if he came in contact with a whole mace, that ought to be ralocha. So why did the Mishnah have to say both al mace, well, a kazayis min a mace? To which the Gemara Rabbi Yochanan answered, like netzrachop, the Mishnah is speaking about a nefil. The vlad of a mace that died, the fetus. Shleiniksur evar begidin. And it wasn't even connected with gidin yet. So what do we see? That the animal, the fetus, does not get gidin right away. So if that's the case, Alma, what do we say that the issa kotshim and the issa gidin come together? Here we see they don't come together. Kachim, it becomes as soon as it formed. The morning, Bavyasim hang kachim. The moment they are formed, they become kachim. And Gidin come later. So if that's the case, it should be a situation. So we're saying that the reason the two, we have Gidin and kachim at the same time, by Vlodis kachim, is because they came at the same time. That's not true. The Isser of kachim comes later. So of course, Tysus explains, what does it mean that the Gidin only come later? So Tysus explains that the Gidin originally begin with a soft, meaty texture, and then they harden into these veins. So the Issa of Mekdoshim takes effect at the initial stage of development, when the Gid is still soft, and that's why it kachim before gidin. So ask the Chasam Sofer, why is that? If we're saying that the gidin are there, so just because it's soft doesn't mean it's not a gid. Says the Chasam Sofer. So ask the Chasam Sofer, what are we saying that kachim before the gid? It's still there. So he answers a different, soft shouldn't make a difference. So Chasam Sofer says that the issue is that the gid at that point is too small. It's smaller than a kazayis. And therefore, since it's smaller a kazayis, says the Noid Bihuda and the Chasam Sofer, the Isser gid doesn't apply when the gid is so small. And therefore, we could well understand the Gemara's question, when the Gemara says that the kachim comes before the gid, answers the Gemara, even though Avgav, indeed, Avgav the Issa Mekachim condom, even though the Issa Kachim came before the Issa Gid, still Osi Issa Gid Chayaleu. The Issa Gid Anasha could be applicable here, and there is no Isser, and there is no concern of Ein Issa Chayal Isser, because the Isser of Gid Anasha Kekein Issur Noi B'nei Noyach. The Yaakov and his family were told that they can't eat a gid. And at that point, they were still b'nei noyach. So we see that the gid anosha is a stricter, isser than the issa kachim. For the issa kachim only applies, obviously, to b'nei Yisrael. This gid applies to nochrim, to b'nei noyach as well. So that's why there is no problem with issa chalal asa. Ask the Gemara, Man Sham Lel Haisvara. Ask the Gemara, who's the man that indeed holds that the Gid Anosha is applicable to Bnei Noach? Rabbi Yehuda. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Daf Kuf. But ask the Gemara, our Mishnah, from Masnis to like Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah clearly does not follow the Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. The Tani, our Mishnah said the Gid Anosha Noig, Behema Bechaya, B'yerach Shemin, or B'yerach Shosmol. And Rabbi Yehuda, as we're going to learn very extensively throughout this parak, is the mandam that holds that there is no gid nosha by both sides. So how can we say that our Mishnah is following that opinion? Says the Gemara, Hai Tana Sovel Kavasei B'chadam. he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda in one way, or Palak Lebechada, and he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara explains. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that the Gid Anosh applies to Bnei Noach, but he doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the Gid Anosh is only on one side. He actually holds the Gid Anosh is on both sides. Ask the Gemara, aim the Shamlai Rabbi Yehuda, where do we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Gid Anosh is such a strict Isser that it even applies to Bnei Noach? But Tamei, this lav, that's regarding an animal which is not kosher. So it says, Rabbi Yehuda, that this Gid Anosh, which applies to Bnei Noach, is stricter than the Isser Tuma, because this Gid is Chal, Kachim, this because therefore, something which is an Isselav, Gid is stricter than the Isselav, and that's why there's no problem. But here, Amish is talking about an animal which is Kachim. And Kachim carries with it an Issacharis. Ask them, is there anybody would hold that Mishamdle, that the Issa Kachim, which is such a strict Isser, so just because the Issa Gid applies to Bnei Noach, that isn't a reason that we should consider it a stricter Isser, that we should say Issa Chalal Isser. This should still be included an Ein Issa Chalal Isser. So we're back to our original question. The Mishnah said that Gid Anosh applies the Kachim. And the question is that if our Mishnah is talking about a Shalil, the Kachim Isser comes before the Gid Isser, and therefore the Issa Gid should not apply because Enes Chalal Isser. Says the Mara, Elochim and Mavakeris Eskinen. Our Mishnah is talking about an animal which is Kachim, but what type of Kachim? It's a Bechor. Everybody agrees wherever we'll have a discussion at what point something becomes also because of Kachim, everybody will agree that when we speak about this type of a situation, everybody will agree that the Berechim Kaddish, the Bechor, only becomes Kaddish when it comes out of the wound. So here, the Issa Gid is applicable, and the reason this Gid is applicable, that the Gid Anosha doesn't apply. We're going according to the opinion that holds that the Gid Anosha doesn't apply by Shlil. So when does the Issa Gid Anosha kick in? The Issa Gid Anosha kicks in when it comes out of the animal's womb. That's also when the Issa Bechor kicks in. Since both Isurim kick in at that time, now we can well understand the Mishnah, why since they both come at the same time, there's no problem with Ein Issa Chalal Issa. Vibay Seima, our Mishnah is following the opinion, the Vlad is Kachim B'Aviyasim Ekadoshim. Kachim also kick in only when they get born. So that means even though it's the Vlad, it's the baby of a mother who's Kachim, the Issur Kachim, the din of Kachim, don't apply until it actually exits the mother. And that's also when the Gid Issur applies, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda says that there is no Gid Anosh by Shlil, and that's why the two Issurim come together. Amram Chiba Yosef, Lo Yisharal B'Kachim and Nechalim. Our Mishnah is speaking about when we say that this Gid Anosh applies, it's only about a type of Kachim, which are Karbonas that are eaten, Chattis, V'Osham, Shlomim. Av Kachim She'en and Nechalim, a Karbon Oila, Ein Issur Gid Noig Behem, there is no Issur of Gid Anosh. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is Echad Kachim Nechalim, Echad Kachim She'en Nechalim, all different types of Kachim, Issur Gid Noig Behem. And says the Gemara Amar, Papa V'lai Pligi, there actually is no Machlok Subchiv Rabbi Yochanan. Kan Lal Kaisai, the way Rashi explains, the Kan Lal Loisai. Rabbi that says that Issur Gid Anosh doesn't apply by Kachim which are not eaten, that's speaking that there is no Isser to put the Gid Anosh on the Mizbeach. Rav Yochanan said that Gid does apply by Kachim She'en Echalim, and speaking about Malkus, that the Halacha is, he's telling us that if somebody eats the Gid Anosh of a carbon oila, he will get Malkus for eating Gid Anosh, even though it's from a carbon oila. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. The Ran has a different explanation, and he says Lal Kaisai means that if you put it on the Mizbeach, you won't get Malkus for the Issa Gid Anosh, even though really, you shouldn't put on the Mizbeach. But that's as far as La Koisai. La Loisai, everybody will agree you shouldn't put on the Mizbeach. Ikad Amri, a different version. Amra Papa Vlai Pligi, there's no Machiks of Chir Rabbi Yochanan Kan La Choytsoi. Is there a mitzvah to take off the Giranosha? The Kan La Loisai, and now the issue is, after you separated, can you put on the Mizbeach? Ruchidat says that there's no Issan Gid by Kachim, even by Kabin Oilam. He's speaking about the loch of take of separating it. And he's saying that there is no obligation to take off the gid from the animal before he put the animal on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yochanan is speaking about the din of putting it on the Mizbeach. And he's saying that the only time, even though you don't have to separate it, and you could put it on the Mizbeach, that's only if it's part of the animal. But if it has been separated from the animal, there Rabbi Yochanan says, don't put on the Mizbeach. Rav Nachman Yotzel Aloysa Pligi. The halacha is, there is a machlokes, he says. He says, the machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan is referring to a situation of putting the Gura Nasha together with the rest of the thigh on the Mizbeach. And we're going to have this machlokes actually later, a machlokes of Rabbi Rabbanan. Rav Chia says that, Rav Chia holds like Rebbe, that as long as it's part of the animal, it's part of the thigh, the halacha is you could put it on the Mizbeach. Rav Yochanan holds that Issa Gid holds like Rabbanan, that we cannot, even if it's still not detached from the Yerach, the halacha is we should not put it on the Mizbeach. It says the Gemara D'Tanya, we actually has such a brisa, as we just mentioned in Machlokes. The Pasuk says regarding the Karban Oila, Vikta Karnas Akom Mizbecha. The rabbis, we learn from here, Hatzomas Vagin Vaginayim Vatalfayim, that all of the animal, the bones and the gidin, horns, hoofs, all should be put on the Mizbech. Yochal Afilu Parashu, we were saying that even if the gidin separated, the halacha still applies. Tamalayim Vasisa Elasecha Bas Vadam. It says only Bas Vadam should be put on the Mizbeach. So obviously there's a question. E Bas Vadam, if we follow the Pasuk that says Bas Vadam, so that seems to indicate Yochel Yachlis Gidin Vatzomis, that we should separate the Gidin Vatzomis before we put it on the Mizbeach. And the Yala. Yala Bas El Gav Mizbeach, and that only the Bas and the Dam should be put on the Mizbeach. But on the other hand, Tamal Leimer, we put the entire, everything on the Mizbeach. How do we reconcile these two Pesukim? Ha-Ketzat, Mechubarim, if they're still connected to the animal, Yalu, they should be put on the Mizbeach. Parsha, if they were separated from the Mizbeach, even if they are Barosh, the Mizbeach, Yardu. Says the Gemara, Man Tana, the Shamadlei, says the one, who's the Tana that indeed holds the Parsha, if they were separated, Yerdu, they should be removed from the Mizbeach? Says my Rebbe, it's the opinion of Rebbe. The Tanya, the Pasuk says, Victa as a coin, Rabbis at Tzoms, for the Gudim, the Ritzoms, Agidim, the Kanayim, the Dophayim, the Filu Parshu. Even if they're separated, they should be put on the Mizbeach. Aye, for Mani Mikayim, what do we do with the Pasuk of Asisa Lesach Abbas Vadam, the Paikim? It's talking about where something flew off the Mizbeach. Ha-Ketzed. Ikule Basar, pieces of meat that were starting to get burnt, and then they flew off the Mizbeach, and they, at the Maxi, you have to return to the Mizbeach. However, we at the Maxi, Kule Gidim Vatzomis. You don't have to put back those Gidim that started getting burnt and now flew off the Mizbeach. Rabbi Amikasa Acher Ayim Avasisa Koyin Asakol, Rebu, the Kasa Acher what's connected should be put on the Mizbeach. Parshu afilu rosh Mizbeach, if they were separated, and even not that they flew off, they're just not together on the Mizbeach, the halacha is that yerdu. And that is obviously the opinion of the first brisa that we just learned. So says the Gemara, Rabbanan, Rabbanan said, Mechubarim l'sur kroibri, that when they're still attached to the meat, for that I don't even need a pasuk. Why? Explained the Rabbanan. Me did the hava a rosh shaloyla. and the head of the carbon oila, there are many bones. Yet we know that the head of the carbon is burnt. Kiyetzer Kra, the entire Parsuk is coming to teach us that the Parshu, that even if they were separated, that put on the Mizbeach. Rabbanan, Rebbe, and Rebbe says, so isn't the head of the carbon oila, asked the Gemara, a great raya that they should be put on the Mizbeach? He can't, says Rebbe, you can't bring a raya from the head of a carbon oila. B'chubarim, that Torah, the head is something that is belongs in the Mizbeach. For that, I don't need a pasuk. Kitzra kra, l'gidah nasha b'mechubar. That even though it's a gidah nasha, and we know that we may not eat the gidah nasha, we're learning from here that if it's connected to the meat, we put on the Mizbeach. That we can't learn, he says, from the head of the Mizbeach. And that's why Rebbe needs a pasuk for that case, and the Rabbanon don't. Says the Rabbanon, that they hold that the Gidah Nosha can't be put on Mizbeach. Why? Because the pasuk says in Yechezkel, V'seach men atzoyim and amasayim, Mimashki Yisrael, Mincha lo'ilu, L'shlam l'chap aleyem, we learn min amashki Yisrael, min amutal Yisrael. Only something that we may eat can be put on the Mizbeach. And that's why they need a pasuk to teach us that the Gidim that are mutter, even though they're separated, but not for the Gidah Nosha. Rebbe, the fact that we can't eat something is not a proof that it can't be put on the Mizbeach, because chel and dam are obviously parts of the animal that we may not have, and still they're put on the Mizbeach. And the Rabbanan say that's not a kasha, because the mitzvahs makas, the Torah clearly tells us, the Torah clearly tells us that they should be put on the Mizbeach. So the fact that they're normally not kosher is obviously not a consideration. So we see here there's a machlokes tanayim. What is the status of a gira nosha, of the gira nosha that's connected to the animal? Rebbe holds that you could put it on the Mizbeach, just like Rav Chiya by Yosef said, that the gira nosha iser doesn't apply by carbon oil, by kachim she'enim necholim. The Rabbanon hold that you can't put it on the Mizbeach, just like Rav Yochanan said, that the Isser of Gidah Nosha applies by all types of kachim, even kachim she'en necholim. Of course, the Mefarshim point out, so it turns out that the Machlokes of Rav Chiya and Reb Yochanan is really Machlokes Rebbe and Rabbanan. And why doesn't the Gemara say Lema to Tanoi, that this is a Machlokes that's equivalent to Machlokes Tanoim? So the Mefarshim explain, since their opinions here are not clear, the Gemara doesn't say Lema Katanoi. Only when the opinions are very clear does the Gemara say, what are they coming to tell us which wasn't learned before? But when the opinions are not clear, as in our case, the Gemara doesn't say Lema Katanoi. We just learned a very important halacha, that what could be put on the Mizbeach, only something with Mashki Yisrael, Menamuta Yisrael. The question is, how do we understand this halacha of Mashke Yisrael? I saw the Achronim have two approaches. One approach is that since a regular person, a regular member of Klai Yisrael, can't eat from this meat, that's a reason that it should not be allowed to be put on the Mizbeach. Another explanation is not because since it's us, the Klai Yisrael, so how could I put something on the Mizbeach that we may not eat? But rather, if it's also to us, it's also to the Mizbeach as well. What is the nafkamina between these two approaches? Explains Rabbi Chanan the Kaibetz Aris, what will be if this thing became mutter? There's a heter to Yisrael. Will we say that heter is for Yisrael, but it's still usher for the Mizbeach? Or do we say if it's mutter for Yisrael, then it has to certainly become mutter for the Mizbeach, because the whole issa to the Mizbeach is only because it's also to Yisrael. And here, if it's not also to Yisrael, it won't be also to the Mizbeach either. So the question that the Achronim also ask is that if there's any day of the year that we associate with Kabbonis, it's Yom Kippur. And if Yom Kippur, we're not allowed to eat. So if we're not allowed to eat in Yom Kippur, So everything that's brought is not Mimashki Yisrael. Anything that's put on the Mizbeach that day is not something in the category of Mashki Yisrael that we're allowed to eat. So how can we ever bring a carbon on Yom Kippur? So Rabbi Chanan answers that Yom Kippur is not that the food is asur. There's nothing non-kosher about the food. It's a din in the day. On Yom Kippur, we're not allowed to eat. When the Torah keeps on telling us the din of Mashki Yisrael, that only food that's kosher can be put on the Mizbeach, it's talking about the actual food, not something that's on the, just not something because it's the day and not the food. Another Teretz, Rabbi Chanan suggests, there's nothing wrong with food on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, there's a din, it's a day of inui. It's a day that we have to be, so to speak, suffering. And one of the ways we suffer is by not eating. So there's nothing wrong with the food. There's a din that we people have to be inui. And since there's no din of inui, so therefore that by the Mizbeach, so there's no problem of Mashki Yisrael on the Mizbeach. Tikli Chemda gives a different teretz. Tikli Chemda says the teretz that the Gemara just gave. The Gemara just introduced the concept of Mitzvosim B'Kach. What does the concept of Mitzvosim B'Kach teach us? The halacha is that Mitzvosim B'Kach says that even though there may be a rule of Mashki Yisrael or other types of rules like that, but if the Torah says, this is what I want you to do. If the Torah says, that's what I want you to do, so there's no problem of Mashki Yisrael. The Torah is telling us that on Yom Kippur, I want you to bring Kabbonis, even though the Torah obviously is well aware that that might be a problem with the consideration of Mashki Yisrael. Davni Nezer gives a different teretz. Davni Nezer says that food is not absolutely usur on Yom Kippur. Children and people who are not well allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. So that's why it's not a violation of Mashki Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Amar Avuna Gira Nosha Shal Oila. The Gira Nosha for Karban Oila. Cholza, we should take it off before we put the Karban Oila on the Mizbeach and put it on the Tapuach. In the middle of the Mizbeach, there was a place called a Tapuach because it looked like an apple. And that's where all the ash from all the Kabbonis were collected. And that makes it look so beautiful because there was so much ash accumulated representing there were so many Kabbonis brought. Arav Chester, Mari Dechi, says the Gemara, I need you to explain what you just said. Miksev Aken La Yochel Mizbeach, Aken La Yochel B'nei Yisrael Ksev. So he's saying that since the Torah, when it speaks about the Gidonosha, it says Aken La Yochel B'nei Yisrael, he says that's an indication that the Issa of Gidonosha only applies to people, not to the Mizbeach. Rahuna, so how does Rav Huna say, or what does Rav Huna say that applies to the Mizbeach as well? He explains the pasuk that we've just been discussing, Mimashki Yisrael, that only applies when a mutter li Yisrael from something that we may have. And since Gidonosha we can have, they can't have either. And again, here too, the Mefarshim ask, why don't we just say that the Machloikus of Rav Chisda and Rav Huna is identical to the Machloikus of Rebbe Rabbanon? And here too, the Ritva says, because the machloikus of Rebbe and Rabbanon is so not clear, we can't just say Rav Chisda Rav Huna are a repetition, but we really don't know what is the full-fledged machloikus of Rebbe and Rabbanon. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Brice says, you separate it, mechabdoi la'amoi, and you have it go down the canal, which went out of the Azara. And there's no mitzvah to burn it, there's no noiser, etc. Vishaloila Maleu. Maila Maleu Makdiroi. I Rav Huna just said that we don't burn it together with the carbon. Says the Maloi. That's not what the Braisa means to say. Maleu Vachaltsoi. We bring it to the Mizbeach, but we separate it and put it on Tapuach. Ask the Gemara Machsha Chaltsoi, but according to Rav Huna, that it's separated and it's not burned together with the rest of the carbon. So now the question is, Lama Malay, why we put it on the Mizbeach just to put it on the Tapuach? Answers the Gemara, Mishum Shenemar. The Pasuk says in Malachi, V'chisagishun evil mizbayach ein ra. V'sigisha pisach v'chela ein ra kriva nofetz lefachasecha hayirtzcha yisup hanecha om Hashem tzvakos. That the pasuk is chastising Klal Yisrael that you wouldn't bring to a king an animal that's a balmum. You shouldn't bring a balmum as a carbon either. That's why he says that to separate, cut up the carbon oila, extract the Giran Nosha, as we're going to see in this perek in Mitzvah Shem, it's not necessarily such an easy operation, and that causes the animal to get completely dismembered is not respectful. That's why he says, bring it up entirely to Mizbeach whole, which is respectful, and then separate out the Giran Nosha and put on the Tepuach. And says the Gemara, Tanya Kavasid Rav Huna, the Braisa supports what Rav Huna said. The Braisa says, Gira Nasha Shlomim Chabda La'ama. The Gira Nasha Vakarim Shlomim, and actually that is the same for the Karim Chattas V'asham, are all sent down the canal of the base, on the base of Migdash, because they're not there. We don't put everything on the Mizbeach anyway. So we're not putting the entire animal on the Mizbeach, and these parts are put down the canal, Mishal Oila, Chalzel Tapuach, we take up the carbon oila, and then at the Mizbeach, we separate out the Giranosha, and the Giranosha part is put on the Tapuach. So since we're speaking about the Tapuach, says the Gemara Tanan Hossam, the Mishnah Masechta Tamid teaches us, Tapuach Chai Bemtza Mizbeach, there was a Tapuach in the middle of Mizbeach, Pamim Hayalav Kishlosh Meikur. Sometimes there were accumulated so much 300 core of ash, to which Rav says, guzma, that's a guzma. The machloikis Rambam Maravid, how exactly the tapuach look. The Rambam's opinion is, there was like some sort of a, there was no structure. They just accumulated ash in the middle of the Mizbeach. The Ravid's opinion is, there was like a square board on the Mizbeach, in the middle of Mizbeach, and that's where they would put the ash into. Hishku, another example, says the Gemara of a Guzma. Hishku Satamid, they would always give an animal to drink before they would shecht it. The reason being, it becomes easier to skin the animal. So says the Gemara, Hishku Tamid Bekashozov, they gave the animal to drink in a gold cup, to which Rava says it's a guzma. The way I saw the Mefarshim explain this is that they're not serving an animal, you're not giving an animal to drink something that is out of a gold cup. They actually used a copper cup. But a copper cup is shiny, just like a gold cup. And that's what the Gemara means to, that's what they mean to teach us, that they used a shiny copper cup to feed the animal. As I said, most explain, because that makes it easier to come off. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnah says that sometimes there are sirchus, very insignificant lesions, sirchus attached to the lung. And we know that, as we learned extensively in Perek Eilat Treifus, that a sircha makes an animal non-kosher. But if the sircha falls off before the shechita, that's how we'll prevent an animal from being identified as treif. Rav Ami says, Dibra Torah, we find that the Torah sometimes speaks Loshon Havai. The Torah speaks sometimes in exaggerations. Dibra Nevi'im Loshon Havai. And sometimes in Nach we find that it speaks in exaggeration. Dibra Chachamim Lashon Havai, sometimes in the Gemara we find an exaggeration. Dibra Chacham Lashon Havai, Hadamaron, that we just spoke about, that they had a tapuach of 300 kor, or that they had fed the animal with gold cups. Dibra Torah Lashon Havai, where do we find that the Torah speaks sometimes in exaggeration? Because the pasuk says, Shema Yisrael, Atoy Vayom Sayadein, of course, the cities didn't go up to Shemayim. Dibru Nevi'im Loshon Havai, the pasuk speaks about the time that they inaugurated Shlomo HaMelech, and the pasuk says, "Ba'am mechalim bechalolim mesmechem simcha gadayla v'tibaka arz b'kolim." The word, the earth cracked. Of course, that isn't what happened. The Ramam Pana explains that the whole point of these psukim is that the Torah is trying to get a message across. And therefore, since the Torah is trying to get a message across, that's why it speaks that way, even though it's not to be taken literal. The Babich Rebbe says, the Pasuk says that when the Gemara speaks about Aram Gedolos Petzuras B'Shemayim, it's a Havoy. Why are we saying that it's an exaggeration? Asked the Babich Rebbe. Maybe indeed that's what the cities were. So he explains, if we look at those Pesukim, we remember there was a debate between Yeshua and Kalei versus the other Meraglim. So he says, if what is being said in the Pasuk is to be taken literally, he says, so then where's the room for debate? One is accurate and one is inaccurate. So he explains that the Pasuk should be understood as a exaggeration. If we understand that the Pasuk means to exaggerate, so then the debate between Yeshua and Kalev versus the other Meraglim is much more understandable. We find three places that Trechamim spoke with a exaggeration. Elohim, Tapuach, Geffen, Apreiches. And the Gemara explains itself. Tapuach, Hadamaron, is what we've been speaking about in our entire Shia today. The Papuach of the Mill and Mizbeach, Geffen, the Tanan, the Mishnah Masech, the Midas teaches us, Geffen Shalzov, Haisa Medes, Apischa Shulam, there was a tree that gave out gold at the opening of the Beis HaMikdash, Umudla Gabla Knonsois, it stood on poles, the Komisha Yisnad of Gargor Eshko, anybody who wanted to donate a piece of gold, maybe the Vitalaba would hang it up there. Amar Blazer of Tzadik, my Sahaya, there was once a story, Nimla Shlosh Meis Kayan of Nesai. They needed 300 Kohanim to take off all the gold, to which the Gemara is saying that was an exaggeration, because if you needed so many Kohanim to remove the gold, you should have taken off the gold earlier, and not otherwise it would break. Proiches, the Tanar of Shimon Gamaliel Omer, Shimon Sagan, Proiches. And there's a Machloikus Rishonim, which Proiches are we speaking about? Some say we're speaking about the Proiches that was the curtain between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedoshim. And some explain that the Proiches we're speaking about is the Proiches that was a curtain at the entrance to the Kodesh. Of your Tefach, it was a Tefach wide. Vishal Shiv Mishnaim Nira, Narugas. They needed 72 weaving machines to make it. Called Nima v'Nima, Esen v'Arba Chutim. Every hole and they had in this weaving machine, they had 24 threads. Arkai, the length of the proiches were Arboim Amma, 40 Amma. Rochba, the width of them, of the proiches were Esen v'Amma, 20 Amma. Mishmanim v'Shtei Ribua Nasis. It was made up of 82,000 threads. Ushtaim Ois Mishana, every year, the reason they needed that many threads, because every thread was made of Tchelus Agoma Tala Shani Vashesh, and that means each thread was made out of six threads, which is four times six. And Ushtaim Ois Mishana, they made two every year, because they would get ruined from all of the smoke that came from the Ketoris on the Mizbeach HaKetoris, and they would have to take it to the mikveh before they used it. The reason they had to take it to the mikveh before they used it is because it was woven by women, and it's invariable that one of the women who were involved in making it were tamei nida, and that made it tamei. So before they could use it, they needed shloish meis kahanim. They needed 300 kahanim to take it to the mikvah. There's an interesting question, and this, of course, is a guzma, that they should need so many people to take it. So the question that I saw that the Rapaiskim discuss is many times when somebody is giving a shir and they want to make it geschmack or they want to make it understandable to the people in the shir, they may exaggerate. Is that considered saying something not true, or is that not considered a problem? And I saw that both Rav Shlomo Zalman Tzatzal and Rav Chaim Kinyoski, and they use our Gemara as a raya, say that when something is being said in order to help Torah being understood, that is not considered saying something untrue. Otherwise, we would have a fundamental problem with all the psukim that we just and Gemaras that we just learned. It's also important to point out that even though the Gemara has given us so many examples of guzmos, of exaggeration, the Gemara was speaking about Mishnayis psukim. But in the Gemara itself, Mefarshim point out, there are many examples of guzmos. Again, the purpose of the Gemara is to teach what was learned, and when the purpose of the Gemara is to teach what was learned, there, of course, if that's a good aid in helping understand what we're learning, that was commonly used to teach what they were learning. We learned in the Mishnah that the Gittin Nasha B'Yerach Shemina B'Yerach Shesmol, that the Gittin Nasha applies both to the right side and to the left side. To which the Gemara says, Masnisin like Rabbi Yehuda, Mishnah is not like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tadir Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Einan El Be'achas, it only applies to one of them, Medas Machras, and it makes sense to say, Shel Yamin. Ask the Gemara, how do we understand what the Gemara just said? Ibal Misha Pshutel Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda is certain it means the right side. And when it said Das, it means Das Torah. That's what the Halacha teaches us. And Dilma, a way to understand what it means is Svukim Misapkala. He's not exactly sure which is the problematic Gedanosha. And when he said Das, he meant to say Das Naita. That's what I think it means. Toshma. When we speak about the Karban Pesach, the halacha is Hatzomus v'agidim, the bones and the gidim of the Karban Pesach, v'anoisa, yisful shisha. So we know that if there's noise of a Karban Pesach, the halacha is to burn it not on the first morning of Yontif, but on the second morning of Yontif. It may not be burnt on Yontif. V'vinabay, and when we learned that halacha, the question is, gidim ma'ivetai, what is the gidim that is being referred to? If it's referring to regular meat gidin, lechlenu, they should be eaten like the rest of the Karban Pesach. And if it's because they were left over and they became nicer, so that doesn't have to be mentioned again. Hainu nicer. That's nicer that's being mentioned already. Ella, we're speaking about the gidei tzavar, the neck gidim, that they since they're hot and they'll mention together with that summum that they have to be burnt, because they're not edible. Ask the Gemara, if they're not edible, so then ask the Gemara, the halacha ought to be, ila bosaninu, they're not edible, lishdinu, they should be disposed. Because the only thing that becomes nicer is something that is edible and you didn't eat. But this is not something that's edible. Says the Gemara, Amrav, loinitzchak al gidan nasha, speaking about the gidan nasha, which is edible, but it may not be eaten because it's the gidan nasha, and what the Gemara, the Bryce, what that Mishnah is teaching us, since Rabbi Yehuda doesn't know which is the Gira Nosha that is Osir, we can't eat both of them because one of them is Osir. But we can't throw both of them to the garbage because one of them is not Osir and it should have been eaten. And that's why he says they both are treated as nois and are burnt. So says the Gemara, and the Gemara develops this. If we're going to say that Reb Yehuda has a question, Shapir. So the explanation, as we just said, if we say that Reb Yehuda is clear that the right one is Osir and the left one is Mutter, so that Ter Lechli, eat the left one, and the Surah, which is not considered meat, that Loch should be Lishdei, it should be disposed of. Answers the Gemara, Amar Ikebachanina Loilam, Emelach Mifshe Pshitale. Rabbi Yehuda, so it's a proof, actually, says the Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda was not 100% certain. Says the Gemara, no, we don't have to learn that way. Loilam Emelach Mifshe Pshitale. Rabbi Yehuda is clear that it's the right that's also and the left that's mutter. Just that Mishnah, speaking about a case, Kshahokru, we knew which is the right, Ulubsoif Nisarvu, and then they got mixed up. And now that they got mixed up, I don't know which is the right and which is the left. And since I don't know which is the right and the left, they both look the same, they have to both be burnt. Ravashi Amar, the Mishnah over there is speaking about L'shamnoi, the fat that comes off the gid. The Tanya, the Brisa teaches, Shamna Mutter, that really are pidin, it's Mutter. Yisrael Kadoshiv Nagavasar, Klai Yisrael is machmer not to eat it. And therefore, you can't call it meat that's not edible, that it should be thrown out, because midaraisa, it may be eaten. On the other hand, we don't eat it, and therefore, since we don't eat it, we are going to have to get rid of it through noise. We don't eat it, but it's really muta alpitaira, it's caused noisa. Ravina malaynitzcha ella lechav yehuda mishmul. Don't write yehuda mishmul, shnei gidin hain. There are two parts of every thigh. We have a gid. There's the pnimi, the side of what, the inner side of the thigh, samach etzem, near the bone. That's the gid hanoshim of the rice v'chayav alav. Samach lebasor chitzen. The gid hachitzen is the meat. Is the gid that goes into the meat, and that is osur only midrabanan v'chayav alav. And what he said is that we should burn it is on that gid because on the gid hachitzen. Because on one hand, we don't eat it. But on the other hand, mi'ikra din, midaraisa, it is edible. And therefore, since midaraisa, it's edible, and if I didn't eat it, it becomes nicer, and that's why it has to be burnt.